Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. The festive period very much upon us now. So much to get through. There's been managerial sackings. There's been a Champions League draw. Plus, we'll be looking right the way through the Premier League card and getting the thoughts and feelings of Dan Charles when it comes to the EFL. Mark, we shall start with a managerial sacking. It's happened. Steve Cooper has gone from Nottingham Forest. Their form has been poor. I think many of us expected it. But he was one of those managers, wasn't he? Where we've spoken so much on the podcast this year about, you know, football management almost being more than just winning football matches now. And the journey he'd taken that Forest side on had real respect, not only from his own fans, but opposition fans as well. And I said this, you know, there was a degree of inevitability with the sacking, but the fans still, you know, seemed disappointed that it come to this.
Yeah, I mean, they were. I mean, he took them back to the Premier League. You know, they enjoyed the football that was served up for, you know, a large part of his reign. He'd done a good job, thought he represented the club well. I think that he'd done most things that sort of most football fans want from, from their manager. I can understand the kind of outpouring of emotion towards him, sort of, you know, that was building up, wasn't it, really? Because I think the fans knew what was going to happen. I find it very difficult to know how well a job he's done in the last, say, 12 months or so, because so many new players have come in. Now, that presents some problems, but it also, gives somebody potentially an opportunity. And I suppose it won't be until the next manager has a go. You just wonder whether, like Steve Cooper, was he kind of, had he found his level, or was he actually still getting enough out of, what is a now expensively assembled team? If you look at sort of the amount of players that have been brought in, there's been some quality added over the last 12 months as well. I'm not necessarily in the camp that feels that it was a really harsh sacking. And I also would say that I don't think he definitely deserved to go. So I've been kind of sitting on the fence with that one. I think that the Nuno appointment coming in to replace Steve Cooper is probably more on the odd side, I would say. I felt they'd go for a flashier name, somebody maybe that was going to play better football, more attractive style of play. And Nuno did really well with Wolves, playing a certain type of football. And then he went to Tottenham and he was out of the door very quickly at Spurs. This job is more like the Wolves one than it is the Tottenham one, I suppose. But I don't know. He did. Maybe I'm speaking too much from my Spurs hat on, where his first press conference, he sort of said he was going to make everybody proud. And he just, I don't know, he felt like a bit of a competition winner and, could never. I mean, results, actually, some of the results weren't terrible, but the performances were. And it was no surprise when he was gone, almost as quick as he came in. So, my golden rule for sort of, if you're going to sack a manager, make sure you're bringing someone better in. And I can't say for certain that Nottingham Forest are doing that.
It almost feels, I'm not saying that, all Forest fans have disagreed with the decision that's been made, but we've seen a similar thing at Birmingham this year, haven't we? In a sense of a manager being sacked, probably against the will of the fans, in hope that things would improve. And actually, that not being the case, there is a risk of that happening here.
Yeah, I mean, I would sort of say the difference with Birmingham, though, is that they were punching above their weight and were, pushing for the playoffs, weren't they? And sort of being a potential promotion when Eustace was sacked. Whereas Forest, only just survived last season and have found themselves in another relegation battle this time around. And while I'm not saying they should have been pushing for Europe, I mean, the owner feels like they should be kind of tucked away safe enough, in sort of Premier League safety and making that next step in, I don't know, a year's time, 2 years' time into actually being a team that maybe pushes on for the top half of the table. And he'll look at it and think, well, how can, I don't know, Brentford be in 12th on 19 points, Wolves are on 19 points, and, we're in 17th on 14. That's where he's probably pitching Nottingham Forest at. And at the moment, Forest are, below those sort of, you know, below those type of teams, below Bournemouth, 5 points below them. And he'd probably also look at it and feel that Sheffield United have the potential under Wilder maybe to pick up. Luton have not been as bad, and we've said this before, they've not been as bad maybe as what people are suggesting. And this idea that, we already know the three teams that are going to get relegated, I think he wants to guard against complacency of that. And the last performance that Forest put in against Tottenham, and I know they were underdogs in that game, but the football wasn't very good in that game, was it? I mean, they kind of resorted to being a team of cloggers, really, and playing really direct football. That wasn't kind of, you know, I don't watch every minute of Nottingham Forest, but that wasn't how I associated Steve Cooper's football, really. But, you know, if you've got a player like Morgan Gibbs-White in the side, like, give the ball in, you know, give him the ball on the floor, get some people around him. And, yeah, that sort of seems to have got lost, probably because there's a lack of confidence. But ultimately, they've won 3 of 17 games this season. So I'm not sure anyone should be, you know, absolutely stunned that he got the boot.
They're 5-2 for relegation. Do you see that a price worth backing?
Not really, no. And Luton have got the game in hand after, you know, those shocking events, what happened at Bournemouth last week. But, I mean, 5 points for Luton to make up on Forest is already a fair amount. I mean, Burnley haven't showed that much, have they? You know, only got 8 points, and Sheffield United have only got 8 points. So, I mean, how many are they realistically going to get for the rest of the season? You know, if they get to 30, they've probably done well, the three of them. So, I mean, Nottingham Forest should be okay. But you would maybe feel like, you know, a 1 year obviously being out injured has been a big blow for them. I'd loathe to say they need more players, given the amount of players they've brought in. But they even need him to get fit, or they'll need to probably bring a striker in January. But I think Nuno's solid enough to make sure they don't get relegated. But is he the person that's going to take them on to where the owner wants them to? That would be my sort of longer-term question, I suppose, over him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Steve Cooper pops up next. Let's take a look, Mark, at
Crystal Palace. I can see him being Crystal Palace manager by the start of next season.
There you go. Good shout. Champions League draw. That was also a couple of days ago. We've got the round of 16. Let's take a quick look at the outright market before we dive into the games that have been drawn out. Manchester City, clear favourites, 15-8. Bayern Munich, 4-1. Real Madrid, 11-2. Arsenal, 6s. PSG, 12s. Bigger the rest. What was the tie that stood out to you? There were not too many kind of blockbuster clashes.
No, there weren't really. I mean, I don't know if there's a bit of English bias there, and you just go, well, City are going to beat Copenhagen, Arsenal probably going to beat Porto. It's a boring draw. But there weren't enough stories, really. There weren't enough wow moments from it. I think probably the hipster's choice, I suppose. You do often refer to me as a hipster. But Paris Saint-Germain against Real Sociedad, you know, actually the two teams I've written about in the Racing Post this year. But at the start of the tournament, it was, you know, Paris Saint-Germain looked like they're, you know, I think building something that could win the Champions League. I mean, how they've got through, you know, very lucky to get through, and they're going to have to improve if I'm to be sort of proven right in that regard. But I wrote a few weeks ago about how Real Sociedad were the outside, you know, they were going to be like the sexy outsiders of the competition. Got a really hard draw, but a lot of young players, and you can see here the difference maybe between them and PSG, a lot of young players on the up that are absolutely desperate to impress for, you know, sort of, you know, academy boy has done good with the odd splattering of someone like Kubo as well on the wing. They're so hungry and like press high and aggressively. And Paris Saint-Germain struggled with that against Newcastle, didn't they, at St. James's Park? Just couldn't handle similar type of atmosphere, similar type of approach. So another couple of months, maybe Luis Enrique's PSG are kind of more adapt at that. But I definitely don't think it's a gimme for PSG. But they're always going to be up against it, given they finished second. The draw, I mean, it should be Napoli against Barcelona. You've got the champions of Italy against the champions of Spain. But neither team's playing to the level that they were last season. So that might be something of a disappointment. I think the most interesting game might be Inter against Atletico Madrid. Because some people that were sort of tipping up Inter as a side that, you know, might be able to go sort of deep into the competition, then they finished second. So they were always up against it in the draw. But But it's not one of the absolute big guns, is it? It's not Bayern Munich. It's not Manchester City. So both teams will probably see it as winnable. But if Inter get through, you know, they were beaten finalists last year, flying in Serie A, you know, very difficult team to beat. Got quality up front in Lautaro Martinez, particularly, and Marcus Thuram as well. Solid enough defence. So sort of cliche, sort of good knockout team, really. A lot of what you need to be a knockout team. So that's probably the game I'm looking forward to most, because it's competitive. And that's the problem with some of these other games, is that on paper, they just don't look like they're going to be close matchups.
Absolutely. Yeah, should be an intriguing one. Plenty to get through in terms of Premier League action this week, Mark. So we'll jump straight into our big match now. Members Club is now available on the Racing Post app. All Members Club subscribers can now access premium news and tips anytime, anywhere. Plus, if you're not already a member, you'll get 50% off your first 3 months. If you haven't already subscribed yet and want to join the greatest club in racing, simply visit racingpost.com/subscribe. Yeah, it's really hotting up in the Premier League, isn't it? Let's take a look at our big match this weekend then. We'll take a look at Liverpool against Arsenal this Saturday, 5 o'clock. Probably worth, before we get into the actual match itself, Mark, discussing the Premier League title race, because for once it is wide open. You've got Manchester City 5-4, Arsenal 5-2, Liverpool 11-4. You've even got Villa in the mix there at 14-1. You know, every week we keep going, you know, maybe this is the week that Manchester City click into gear. Maybe this is the week. And it hasn't happened yet.
No, I know you're excited for Liverpool v Arsenal, Jack, but it's 5:30. I know you want it to be 5 o'clock so you can watch it, but that's one thing for the punters to remember. They've got an extra 30 minutes. But you are right with the Man City. Like, we're now just assuming that they're going to win 15 games in a row at some stage. Like, I'm looking at sort of how many points they're going to get now this season. They average, I think it's 91.5 in Pep Guardiola's sort of like last 5 or 6 years, something like that. So we kind of just assume that they get, I don't know, like at least into the 90s. And quite often it feels like it's in the, you know, the 95, 96. And that rules virtually everybody else out of winning the title when they get to that level. They might not get to 90 this time around. And all of a sudden, that brings other teams into it. You know, I don't, at the start of the season, I wouldn't have backed Liverpool or Arsenal to get to 90 points, for instance, or like 91. But they might not need that to win the league. And you know, City have still got a number of hard away games to go. If you look at kind of, obviously, they've got one out of the way because they've been to Arsenal. But got to go to Anfield, where they don't usually pick up too many points. They've got to go to Tottenham, where they never scored in that stadium. Newcastle's going to be a difficult away game for them as well. So, you know, I'm struggling to see them. And I'm fully aware that probably this time, you know, a year ago, I said exactly the same thing. Just can't see it. You know, they are faltering. And and Arsenal were further ahead than what they are this time. But it feels like City are in more danger because there's more than one team going at them this year. You reeled it off. You know, I don't think Aston Villa will be in the mix come the end of the season. But I think these two teams at Anfield on Saturday now have got every chance of, you know, at least making this really uncomfortable for Manchester City, who, you know, I don't think it's a hunger thing. I think it's a structural issue that they've got at the moment. And, you know, there's panic there and a lack of calm. And when you're conceding 2 goals at Crystal Palace and 4 at Chelsea and 3 to Tottenham, I mean, that's just not what you expect of a team that's going to win the league.
Absolutely. Well, look, these are the two closest teams in terms of, you know, prices to Manchester City to go on and win the Premier League. They face each other this Saturday. Liverpool, the home side, 7-5, 13-5, the draw, 9-5, Arsenal. I mean, you know, we've spoken highly of Liverpool this season. We are speaking ahead of their League Cup game, so that could change things if there's injuries or what have you. But, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we just assumed that they would score plenty of goals last weekend. And for whatever reason, that didn't happen. Will that be in the back of their minds?
I don't think it should, because they did what they had over 30 shots. But I agree that there was a...
35 or something,
yeah. Yeah, I agree that there was, it felt like a complacency thing where that was just, well, we will score eventually. We just are much better than them. And you could see that they were much better than them sort of in that first 60 minutes. And then there was a bit of panic, I think, that, hold on, we haven't scored yet. And there were a couple of moments on the counter-attack where United started to come into the game. There were still enough chances, I think, for Liverpool to win the game. The Alexander-Arnold one that whistled just past the post being one of those. The Nunez one where he was appealing for a penalty and the ball was just there to be potentially tapped in. I think there was some bad decision-making. Salah didn't have a very good game by his really high standards. Endo wasn't perfect in that sort of number six position in front of the defence. I wasn't massively impressed with what he delivered. And actually felt that Klopp's substitutions, this was picked up on Sky as well, wasn't it? Made the team worse in some respects. They chucked on another forward, but lost their balance. More often than not, you have 30-odd shots, you'll probably still win the game and one will go in somehow. It didn't happen. They've just got to take that one on the chin. They're still in a good position. It just will be slightly annoying because they come into the game behind Arsenal when... I think they would have felt that they should have won that game and been above Arsenal. I don't think it really matters at this stage, who's 1 point or 2 points above whoever. There's a long, long way to go. And this was the game, if you remember last year, where felt like it slipped away from Arsenal. They were a couple of goals up. It was looking like it was going to be a huge victory for them. Then they ended up dropping points. And that was sort of part of their dodgy spell just at a time when Man City started to hit their sort of full stride. So, I mean, from Mikel Arteta's point of view, this is a big game, really, for the mentality of his team because, what happened last year, they won't want that. It feels like they've grown. I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to become, I think, a more rounded team this season, a slightly calmer team at times as well. And they just got caught up, I think, in everything that Anfield froze at you last season. And, they need to show that this is kind of a more mature Arsenal side, but it's still a very difficult game for them.
Well, it is first against second. How do you see it playing out and where's your money going?
Yeah, so I think regular listeners will sort of be fully aware that I've been in sort of the Liverpool camp in the without Man City market for the whole season. So at the prices, I feel like I've got to stick with Liverpool because if I feel like Liverpool are a better side than Arsenal, then with home advantage, I think that does mean that they're a value bet. Slightly concerned that they've got this Wednesday game and Arsenal have had a free midweek, but even so, I still they didn't play great against Manchester United. But I also look at Arsenal, they've lost a couple of their toughest away games already. Aston Villa, where they played well and probably should have got something out of it. Newcastle, where they didn't play well. And I mean, they were deservedly beaten. They were two down at Chelsea and were gifted a way back into the game as well. So can't wait for this game. Think it'll be fantastic. But I'd probably just edge towards Liverpool for the time being. I think Man City will be cheering on a draw and that'd be frustrating, I think, for either team if it does end in a draw because, you want to kick on while City are away at the Club World Cup.
OK, let's get into the Premier League, rest of the Premier League action and the Club World Cup. Yeah, we've, of course, got the Club World Cup to look forward to. That one this Friday at 6 p.m. if you're wanting to tune in. It's Manchester City against Fluminense. Manchester City 2-7, the draw 9-2, 17-2, Fluminense. Is this a fixture that interests you each year, Mark?
Not really, Jack. Sorry, I know the kind of, if you work for, it's TNT, isn't it? But yeah, it's the same with Sky. If they've got something, they tell you how great everything is. Doesn't register hugely on my radar. One of the problems is that the European teams, generally speaking, these days, much stronger than the South American counterparts. I think they'll be the same this time around. I'm going to go for Man City to win and under 3.5 goals. I mean, City was so comfortable against Urawa on Tuesday. I mean, the outsiders were, I think they had like six at the back, four in midfield and nobody up front. And it was just a matter of time before City scored. Not saying it'll be quite so defensive from the Brazilians. By the way, they've got some unbelievable names in their ranks. Felipe Melo, that dirty player that used to play for Juventus, he's 40. He plays in defence. Marcelo, formerly of Real Madrid, he's at left back for them. So Not lacking for experience, but there is a quality differential there. So Man City to win and under 3.5 goals, because I'm expecting this to be sort of one of them games where City have to be patient and, you know, once they go in front, just control it from there.
Friday, 6 p.m. So if you're not out on your Christmas drinks, then something to look forward to there. Right, Premier League time. Let's spin through the card now. It starts Thursday at 8 o'clock. We've got Palace against Brighton. Now, we know how much is on the line for these two sets of fans. Mark, Palace 21-10, 5-2 the draw, 5-4 Brighton. A disappointing defeat, really, for Brighton last weekend. I know that it was against Arsenal going well, but we just assumed, didn't we, that Brighton would score at least a couple. They didn't. They blanked, and they travelled to Palace on Thursday night. Probably not the fixture that they're most looking forward to.
No, they were trounced at Arsenal. I know it was, you know, the scoreline maybe, you know, sort of suggested it was, you know, maybe a bit of a hard-fought game for Arsenal, but it was 9-1 on shots on target. That is not what you expect from Brighton. And, you know, Arsenal played well, but I don't know. I just expected more from Brighton. I'm going to go for the draw in this game. You've already alluded to the fact that, and you didn't call it a derby quite rightly, because it's not a derby. It's just a grudge match, a hate match, or whatever. You know, they're arch rivals, not local rivals. The last four at Selhurst have all been 1-1 between the two teams. I mean, that's not the sort of thing that sort of I lend too much in terms of having a bet. But I mean, it does show that even when Brighton have grown over the last couple of years, this is still a hard game for them to go and win. So, yeah, I'll go for the draw.
Are you one of these, Mark, you're quite precious about what's called a derby and what isn't? Are you one of these that doesn't like, don't think that Norwich Ipswich is one because they're not in the same county?
No. I think there's a distance factor to a derby. I mean, you and the old farm rivals. Yeah, I mean, you're next door to each other. You know, so I think that's fair enough. I mean, there's a fair bit of motorway between Crystal Palace and Brighton. So I mean, you know, it's like when Real Madrid and Barcelona. I mean, that's not a derby. It's just two teams that, you know, over the years don't like each other. It's, you can be arch rivals without it being a derby. My definition of derby is like some kind of local rivalness
It.
Yeah.
Okay.
Friday. By the way, while we're talking about local rivals, Tottenham women beating Arsenal women last week.
Yes. That was a bit of an upset, isn't it?
Huge upset. Go on, the Spurs girls. That was a fantastic win. I was watching that more than your old farm game. I was buzzing for it.
That was a good game as well. Considering you've got money on Ipswich to go, I thought you would have been cheating. Can you not dual screen? Can you not sort of multitask like that?
No. I've tried that before. It doesn't work.
Friday, 8 o'clock, Villa against Sheffield United. Villa could go top if other results go their way. Villa fives on, 6-1 the draw, 12-1 United. What's your angle into this one?
Yeah, the Christmas number one, Aston Villa. Never mind the Wham and Pogues and all these others going for Christmas number one. It might be Aston Villa. I'm going to go for Aston Villa to win and under 3.5 goals. If you have a look at Sheffield United, since Wilder come in, they've had a couple of 2-0 defeats to Chelsea and Liverpool, which I think sort of shows really that they're competitive, but there's a class differential that is going to be difficult to bridge. And Aston Villa at home, very difficult. At some stage, you feel like, you know, they'll slip up. But there's no real logic to that. It's just kind of the way football works, isn't it? That at some stage soon, they're probably going to slip up at home. But I don't see it being in this game.
Okay, on to the weekend action. Saturday, 12:30, it's West Ham against Manchester United. 6-4, West Ham, 13-5, the draw. 17-10, Manchester United. Mark, how are you playing this?
Well, West Ham are in action on the Wednesday away to Liverpool. We don't know how much rotation or kind of how they come out of that game. I'm going to go for the draw. I think West Ham are strong enough at home, albeit that they've got this difficult game on Wednesday. That's a big one for them, you know, quarterfinal of a League Cup. So I'd expect Moyes to send a pretty strong team to Anfield. United actually only had three away Premier League defeats, and they were at Tottenham, Arsenal and Newcastle. And, you know, I think that West Ham are a level below those three. We saw there's kind of lack of firepower, didn't we, at Anfield, where they didn't offer too much going forward. But I was impressed enough with their defence. Although Liverpool had all them shots, it wasn't like Onana was making save after save after save. So if they go to West Ham with the same kind of mindset. They might be good enough to get a point. Yeah, difficult game to call, I think.
It is, again, once again, quite a difficult coupon to kind of go through, isn't it? On to the Saturday 3 o'clock. So we'll start with Fulham Burnley, 7-10 Fulham, 11-4 the draw, 4-1 Burnley. Free flowing Fulham. Mark, scoring for fun.
They are, yeah. A round of applause for the job Marco Silva's doing. You know, through to the semi-final of the League Cup. You know, won that on penalty shootout, didn't they, against Everton on Tuesday. I'm going to go for draw half-time, Fulham full-time on the double result. No Raul Jimenez. So
brilliant, brilliant red card that. I mean, if you're going to get sent off, just go in hard.
I mean, Marco Silva bemoaning that upgrade from yellow to red was one of the most laughable sort of managerial moans of the season. You'd have struggled to see a more clear red card. And again, I don't think he meant it. We've said it before. You don't need to mean to do something. If you end up sort of using your butt or sort of side to get somebody in the face.
Well, it was one of those, Mark, wasn't it, where you can't really work out what he's trying to do. I've started to play five-a-side again, and there's moments in games where your body doesn't react to what your brain's wanting it to do, and it's sort of your limbs fly out in different angles, and it almost felt like that.
I think he goes to jump in and realises he's not going to make it, but he can't stop himself. He was also a bit wound up. He caught one in the face sort of just before that. I do think without Jimenez, and he's been playing quite well recently, it might be just hard work for Fulham to get their goals, but eventually one might do it. I was very disappointed with Burnley again against Everton last time out.
Really poor, weren't they? We'll get on to Everton shortly. Let's take a look at Luton Newcastle next. 15-4 Luton, 7-2 the draw, 8-13 Newcastle. Obviously, we mentioned it very briefly earlier on. Horrible, horrible scenes for Tom Lockyer of Luton. So hopefully the squad are in a better place. Since that point, Newcastle with their own issues themselves on the pitch, but travel to Kenilworth Road as favourites. How are you seeing this one going?
Newcastle to win by one goal. Of course, that was the outcome when Luton were at home to Man City, to Tottenham and to Arsenal at Kenilworth Road. I mean, Newcastle have, I mean, obviously Luton have got a much more serious injury at the moment, with, as you say, to Tom Lockyer. In terms of volume of injuries, I mean, Newcastle, they just haven't got that many players left. But there's still, I still feel like there's enough quality to get that game won at Luton. But there will be disappointment, won't there, in the ranks after, you know, letting slip that quarterfinal. It was right in their hands, really, that quarterfinal against Chelsea.
Trippier again, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what's going on with Kieran Trippier. But do you remember that sort of recent England game? He pulled out of the squad with personal issues. And I mean, his performances since then have been shocking. So I suppose it does, particularly with what happened with sort of, you know, Dele Alli speaking up quite recently. You just never know what's going on, do you, in sort of people's personal lives. So, I'm not sure if the two are linked. I mean, it might be sort of 2-2 and trying to make up sort of, you know, it makes up sort of 62 in my sort of maths. But I don't know. He's putting in performances that are completely out of keeping with what we've seen from Trippier over the last 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Nottingham Forest, Bournemouth, the next game we'll be looking at. Forest under a new manager, 7-4, 12-5, the draw, 31-20. Bournemouth, we spoke last week, Mark, that Bournemouth starting to find their groove. You expected good things from them at the start of the season. We're starting to see that. Tricky one, this, for Forest.
Yeah, tricky one for the tricky trees. I'm going to go for Bournemouth, draw, no bet. Like, I'm not sure there's going to be a new managerial bounce for Nuno, because, like, as you sort of mentioned a couple of times, like, the fans were fully behind Steve Cooper. Yeah. Usually when a manager's sacked, like, everyone's relieved. Like, you know, when old Wagner gets the boot at Norwich, you know, you'll be leading the chanting for whoever the new manager is. There'll be a lot of singing going on at Carrow Road. Don't feel like that'll be the case with Nuno going into Nottingham Forest. So happy to go with Bournemouth, draw, no bet. Last seven games, 1-5, drawn one, lost one. The two they didn't win. One was the defeat at Man City. You know, happens to a lot of teams. And then they drew with Aston Villa, and that was only late on when Villa got the equaliser. So, I mean, you know, pound for pound, struggling to see a sort of more informed side at the moment than Bournemouth.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about informed sides. They travelled to Tottenham at the weekend. It's Spurs against Everton. Spurs 3-4, 16-5 the draw, 3-1 Everton. Four clean sheets in a row, scoring goals. All is well at Everton.
Well, in the Premier League, I think they'll be really disappointed with their cup exit. Onana's penalty to win the tie is not, I mean, you know, if the goalie would have dived the wrong way, he would have had enough time to get up and save it. It was an awful penalty. I'd love to know what Sean Dyche said to Onana. Sean Dyche doesn't strike me as the kind of manager that would be chilled out with how a player misses a penalty. Like some, you know, Rabona or a little roll up, oh, don't worry about it. I don't know. I feel like Dyche would want you to put your foot through it. But Everton, you're right, in terms of Premier League, Everton absolutely going brilliantly, winning games, keeping clean sheets. What I would say, though, is I think that's fully in the market prices. My immediate reaction here was Dest take on Tottenham. Bissouma's out, suspended. Udogie's out, suspended. They've got their own injuries, you know, Van de Ven and Maddison that we've spoken about previously. But it is reflected in the prices, isn't it? I mean, what price do you say Everton were to win at Spurs?
3-1.
I mean, that's not giving much away there. So I'm going to go for my man. He didn't do it last week, Pedro Porro, but he did have a header wide and he had a shot that was, I think, was flying into the top corner that was blocked by some Forest big head that got in the way of it. But let's go for him again, not least because he's a bigger price now. 33-1 each way. Pedro Porro has had 28 shots. And I think he'll probably be even further forward now because Udogie's out. Emerson Royale is going to come in and play on that left-hand side, but won't be able to do quite what Udogie does on the left. So they might even have to be more aggressive on the right-hand side. I guarantee, you shouldn't say that from a gambling sort of safely point of view. I would be very surprised if we backed Pedro Porro at 33-1 each way. If we backed him blind at 33s between now and the end of the season, what's there, about half the season left. So he'd need to score first once or get a couple of goals for the each way. I mean, it might be the Ben Davis of a couple of years ago. Remember when we were on Ben Davis and he eventually got us over long. Was it against Newcastle? He scored first at a massive price. Like Pedro Porro, in my opinion, should not be 33-1 to score first.
Yeah, I'm sort of still mending the trauma of Ben Davies.
Daddy Davis. He did the business.
Final game we'll take a look at before we speak to Dan Childs about the EFL Christmas Eve. There is a game. It's Wolverhampton Wanderers against Chelsea, 13-5 the home side, 11-4 the draw. Chelsea odds on 19-20. Christmas Eve game, Mark, excited?
Am I excited for it? Well, I'm working Christmas Eve, so no. With my work hat on, I'd rather there was no football. You know, the team could just crack on with getting all their work done and, you know, get to the Baileys nice and early. As it is, won't be able to do that, but never mind. Going to go for both teams to score. I've got a couple of other bets, actually, for this one that I'll get to later on. But I like both teams to score around about 8-11. Wolves have only failed to score twice in the Premier League this season. Once was at Manchester United when we know they were, you know, really are done by from a penalty point of view. And even last week against West Ham, I mean, that offside, you're not going to get a tighter one that was ruled out. Chelsea scored in 13 of their last 14 games. And, you know, they're having a bad season. They're in the semi-finals of a cup. I mean, it's really annoying, isn't it? I mean, I support a team that never wins a trophy. And like Chelsea, even when they're doing bad, are still in the hunt for trophies. It's frustrating.
There we go. Hope you've marked all of those tips down on your piece of paper. Let's talk to Dan Childs now for all things EFL. If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets. Yeah, let's talk all things EFL with a guru, Dan Childs. As always, a team in focus. We'll be looking ahead to what the rest of the season has installed for Leeds United today. Of course, in the Championship under Daniel Farke, one of the strong fancies for many at the start of this season. They take on Ipswich Town this Saturday. It's the early kickoff. It's a huge game. Ipswich Town going really well, fresh off the back of a draw in the East Anglian Derby. Not quite a good recent form for Leeds United, Dan, but you're still hopeful.
Yeah, I mean, people are sort of worrying, and you know, a few of the supporters are worrying because the gap, you know, looking at as lengthened to 10 points now to second place Ipswich, you know, being a student of the Championship tells me there's a hell of a long way to go. Lots can change. I mean, we saw how, you know, last season, you know, we've seen situations with, you know, Bournemouth being right up there a couple of seasons ago and almost getting caught. And there's lots that can happen. Sheffield United last season, they had a really good gap, and then Middlesbrough came, didn't they, with a run quite late in the season. So for me, there's plenty of time for Leeds to make an impact. I mean, this is the first time since August they've gone two games without a win. Those two games, you look at them, Coventry at home. The Coventry are a tricky side. Made the playoffs last season, do cause, you know, problems for the top teams. Sunderland away is a really, really tough away trip. You know, the game they lost 1-0. So for me, I mean, this game they've got coming up against Ipswich at Elland Road, a perfect chance that, you know, to cut that gap again, to try and cut that gap to 7 points. You look at Leeds' form over the last sort of 13 games, you know, after that sort of sticky start when they were late getting their business done in the transfer window, they've took 29 points from the last 13 games. I mean, if you can take points at that kind of rate between now and the end of the season, you're going to be putting some pressure, certainly on one of those top two. I look at, you know, what they've got up front. I think the front four, you look at Somerville, Ruta, Dan James, Peru. I struggle to see a better front four in the division. They've already won at Leicester. They've won at Ipswich. You know, they're going to be trying to do the double over Ipswich. I'm looking at the prices. I think 8-1 for the title is probably too much. That is probably a difficult one, because to catch Leicester and Ipswich is really tricky. But I do feel that they could catch one of them, possibly Ipswich. And the 17-10 for a top two finish, I think, looks a reasonable price to me.
It's a big few weeks for Ipswich Town, isn't it? With Leeds United and then Leicester as well in the next couple of games, off the back of a tough run. It's going to be a season-defining couple of weeks.
Got some big games coming up. And you look at, I watched the game against Norwich, you know, at home, and they weren't, you know, after the early sort of flurry first half an hour, they weren't entirely convincing in that game for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, let's get on to your tips for this weekend. Dan, what's your first?
Going to start off in League One with Bradford away. Start off in League Two, Bradford away to Doncaster on a Friday night game. Bradford, you're getting around 17-10. Looks a massive price for me. I mean, under Graham Alexander, who's gone in there, formerly of MK Dons, they've had five wins in a row in all competitions. They're only in 14th place at the moment, but that league is so congested. They're only 3 points actually off the playoff places. That's going to be their aim, Bradford, to get into those playoffs. Doncaster, I've mentioned before that they had that really tough start and then they were improving. The problem that they're having again is that their injury list is getting really, really long again. Last weekend, home to Morecambe, lost the game 5-0. Had about 10 players sidelined for that game, Doncaster. So issues there for Grant McCann to solve maybe in the January transfer window, but certainly at the moment they look a team to be opposed, and Bradford in the run there on look a good bet to me.
Okay, that's Friday night as well, so make sure your bets are placed in time for that. Two more to go, Dan. Who we look at next?
Yeah, start the first of the two Saturday selections in League One. Wickham at home to Port Vale. I mean, Wickham supporters might be raising their eyebrows at this point, given the run they've been on. No win in nine. But I'm a firm believer that it's kind of often one game can sort of turn a season. And their match away to Derby last weekend, where they've struck an injury time equaliser to get a 1-1 draw. Apparently, it was a well-deserved 1-1 draw as well, which is impressive considering the run that Derby have been on. They've been shooting up the table. Wickham have had issues with injuries. That sort of that's fed into their poor run. A few of these senior players are now coming back. Jack Grimmer, Sam Vokes, two of the players that have recently returned to the team. That's obviously made an impact, looking at their performance away to Derby. And this is a brilliant time for Wickham to play against Port Vale as well. Port Vale, with all the cup competitions that they've been in, they've had an absolutely manic December. Had that massive match against Middlesbrough in the EFL Cup quarter final on Tuesday. Lost that game 3-0, bowed out, and took a few injuries in that game as well. Ollie Arbluster was the on-loan. Sheffield United midfielder was one of the players to limp off. So I just think Port Vale, after that real massive low of being knocked out in a big game and the fatigue and the injuries they've taken, they're going to be, you know, it's going to be tough for them to bounce back at the weekend. And I will take Wickham at home to get the job done.
Okay, third and final pick for this week, Dan.
They were dropping to League Two, Tranmere at home to Swindon. Tranmere down in 21st place, but there's been a real revival from them since Nigel Adkins took the job permanently. They've had one loss in six league games since that happened. The three league games since then, they've won the lot. There's definitely upward momentum at the moment for Tranmere. I think they'll steer well clear of the relegation zone by the end of the season. And this is a great chance for them at home to Swindon to keep that run of home wins going. I mean, Swindon were right up there early in the season. They were unbeaten after the first nine games. Looked like automatic promotion contenders. Now they've had a shocking run. It dropped right down to the middle of the table. Injuries have been a big issue for them as well. Lost 3-0 at home to Barrow last weekend. Mike Flynn under quite a bit of pressure there. And when you include the drop-off in the league form and also that FA Cup tie, stands out in my mind as well, where they lost 7-4 at home to Aldershot. That was another sign of the decline recently of Swindon. So it looks a tough away trip for them in the state that they're in. And Tranmere, for me, odds against around 7-5 look a really good bet.
Okay, so we've got Bradford on the Friday night and Wickham and Tranmere on Saturday. Dan, thank you as always.
You're welcome, Jack.
Yeah, big thanks to Dan Childs, as always. Right, Mark, time to get into your best bets for this week. Had a couple of winners last time out, so let's try and find some more this time out. Let's start with a bet builder, shall we?
Yeah, this week's one, Christmas Eve. So hopefully a present just before Santa goes around delivering his present. So going to go for both teams to score. Mentioned it sort of earlier on. Wolves have only failed to score twice. Chelsea on a good scoring run, 13 of their last 14 games they've managed to score. Under 10 corners in the game, Wolves matches, I should say, are under 10 for an average, and Chelsea just over 10. So while I'm expecting goals, not sure it'll be a game full of corners. And then Cunha to have a shot on target. This is the one I like probably most of those three. And in the nap, I'll kind of explain it more. But yeah, we're going for Cunha to have a shot on target. Both teams to score under 10 corners.
Excellent. Treble for this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to go for EFL treble. So some of these games are on Friday night. So you'll have to place your bets early for this one. Gillingham to beat Forest Green. Troy Deeney's gone in at Forest Green. Not sure if that's going to make a difference or not, but clearly they're struggling at the moment. One team that's not struggling, Bradford, absolutely flying. I think they can beat Doncaster. And then finally, I'm going for Bolton to beat Leighton Orient. They've lost their last two, Bolton, but they're definitely a good side. I think, obviously, lost to Portsmouth in a game where they started well, that was live on Sky, and then lost their way a bit against a team that's top of the table. And then they went down to 10 men last week. So Gillingham, Bradford and Bolton.
Okay, and let's finish things off this episode, Mark, with your best bet. What's the nap?
Yeah, it's Cunha of Wolves to have a shot on target around about 8-11. He's had a shot on target in 8 of his last 9 matches, and he's had 10 shots on target in his last 5 games. So obviously not an easy game against Chelsea, but Wolves very good at home. They tend to score. Cunha is one of those players that can he can create. He's also not afraid to have a dig. So hopefully he can continue his fine run in the shot on target market.
Excellent. Well, this is the last time we'll speak before Christmas Day. Mark, what's your next?
Well, before Christmas Day? Well, you're going to ring me up on Christmas Day as well.
Before Christmas. Well, yeah, I might do. Might pop over for Bailey's or something while the turkey's in the oven. Yeah. What's the next 5 days got in store for you then?
So got the Racing Post Sport Christmas on Wednesday night.
And just tell the listeners what you're up to, because it's very London.
It is, yeah. So we're going virtual clay shooting. So yeah, it's it wasn't my choice, but
who's got the best shot in the team?
Yeah, well, the US editor Andrew Wilshire, the Essex Edge, really fancies his chances. Been talking up his chances all day. So we got that going out. I'm going out on Friday with some mates. I mean, probably the worst day of the year to go out, but it was the only day we were all free. So got that. I'm going Spurs Everton on Saturday.
Oh my goodness!
Christmas Eve. Going after I finish work. Going temping bowling with the kids, and also sort of, you know, mini golf on Christmas Eve, ran to my mum and dad's on Christmas Day, the in-laws on Boxing Day, my mum's birthday on the 27th, so out again. And oh then the 28th, I'll be back doing the podcast. So, yeah, there's no rest for the wicked.
No,
well, how about you? Have you got your Norfolk turkey all plucked?
Turkey's prepped. From a food standpoint, incredibly well prepared. From a present point of view, really inadequate prep for me this year. So, yeah, much like yourself, this lead up to Christmas is always busy, isn't it? So, once again, some issues there. Look, we'll be back on the 28th, won't we, to preview the new year kind of football and the fixtures in and around that. So if you're wanting Boxing Day previews, then take a look at the Racing Post website under the sports section. You'll be well versed there, and Mark and the team will keep you up to date. Mark, thanks very much. Enjoy Christmas. Happy Christmas to all of our listeners. Thank you for your fine support over 2023. We will be back before the new year, but you'll probably be busy the next time we chat to you. Thanks very much for watching, and we'll see you all again very soon. Bye-bye.